I am excited about what God has in store for us. I'm excited. I'm joyous. And I'm not walking in regret. I'm not walking around with doom and gloom. Though I might face a few things in life, I've learned that God has given provision for not only monetary things, but also spiritual things to help our minds and hearts. Amen? I've learned along the way a few things since I've started this walk. I've learned that it's not always easy. I've learned that when it's not easy, that I have to begin to cling unto God. That when I tried to do it my own way, that I always failed. How many of us have tried it our own way? Church, if we admit that we've not tried it our own way, come on now, we're not being real. I want to ask two things of you tonight before I start. One thing is to just be real with yourself. Look inside of who you are and see how the Word of God would reflect towards you. Okay? The second thing that I would ask is that you would support me as much as God would lead you to. Amen? We're going to get on why we should do that in a minute. I'm excited about tonight's message. And I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity before I forget. I always love coming up here, and I apologize for not coming back sooner. I should have come back sooner. So if you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and get turned there to the first place in Matthew chapter 26. Whenever you get there, you go ahead and say amen. How many of you know that it's important to read and absorb the Word of God? If we're not reading and absorbing the Word of God, it's just like that you're taking out a piece of the pie that you could be having for dessert. It's like going to the store and buying a pie with a piece out of it. None of us would go up and buy a pie with a piece out of it. We would say, I want the whole thing. God wants us to have all of it. Praise the Lord. What I want to talk about today is something that God has put in my heart as of late. Because in the ministry and when we go and preach, and this goes for people of all ages, that we are saved. We come to know God. We accept Him into our life. What a wonderful day that is. There's so many things that begin to change in your life. Things that I don't have to tell you to do. You already know. Because there is a Spirit, that Holy Ghost, come on now, that is that teacher that leads you into the way that you should go. The things that you should do. The things that you should say. He equips you from the get-go. And I've found that when we get to a place in our life when the first few trials get hard in our walk with God, that we throw everything that we know out the window. I wish that I had came to talk about positive, wonderful stuff, but that's not what God put on my heart. So you just support me and help me out, because this is something we need to look at and address in all of our lives. A lot of times that we get into a place where we get fed up because of what we're dealing with. And all the things that God has provisioned for us to have in the Spirit, all the things that God has given us in the gifts, all the things that God has given us to be able to acquire each and every day. How many of us know that there are fruits that we can go after every day? How many of us know that the only way that you pick those fruits off God's tree is through prayer? Uh-oh. There are some times that I'm going through things in my mind that I don't talk about to anybody. That the only way that I find peace is when I call out to God in prayer. The only way during the week when I can't make it inside the church doors is when I begin to pray. Begin to seek God. Because if I sit there in my own will, say will. That's the subject tonight. I hope you're ready. When I get in my own will, I choose by my will to give up. I choose by my will to lay down. I choose by my will to listen to things that I shouldn't. I choose by my will to say that I don't feel like getting up and praising God tonight because of all the things that I'm going through. Let me show you a list of all the things I'm dealing with so that you can say, well, they don't need to do anything. Bless their heart. Bless their heart. Listen, guys. The way that you feel sad and shed your tears and sadness is the same way that it feels for me. The same way that it feels for another sister or another brother. And if we're not too careful, we can fall very quickly. And guys, it doesn't matter how long we've been saved, how long that we've been going on the walk. It just takes a moment, a circumstance to begin to make us change our mind. Because we get absolutely fed up, not with God, but we're fed up with what we're dealing with. If I walked up and punched you in the arm, and you would immediately feel the hurt, you would want to place the blame on the one that hurt you. When we get in situations where we're hurt and it's not in our control, we want to blame somebody or something. And us as children of God should know better than to blame God, to ever give up our praise, to ever give up what He's called us to do. Because you see, the enemy can use these things. That's where we're going. The enemy uses these things to disturb our will in us. Right? Let's read a little bit and we'll talk about this. In the 36th verse, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, which saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." A lot of tough reading there, but the first thing I want to talk about is that when he went into the garden to have that prayer was contemplating the will of the situation that was the very sacrifice for us. If anybody had a justified reason to give up on something to say, I don't want this, I would imagine that Christ had within reason to say that I don't want to do this. Why would I bear the sins of all these that would persecute me? When we as the body of Christ begin to say sometimes when one person comes by and says a little smart remark at us, we don't even want to do anything to help them anymore. We don't want to love them anymore. We don't want to perform the will of God towards them anymore. God wants us to be a little bit stronger than that. You see, he came into the garden and they couldn't even watch 1 hour. And he was asking them, addressing the fact that their flesh was weak. He was showing them that the spirit is willing. The only thing that will stand for you when you're able to be able to keep on going, able to take another step, is when you're calling out on God to receive the spirit. You're not going to be able to will yourself by common logic to get yourself in these doors. You're not going to be able to read a positive devotional sometimes to be able to give you the strength. It takes getting into the absolute Shekinah glory anointing of God, letting yourself be lifted up and encouraged. The only way that you're going to have direction in your life. Not my will. I'm glad that things are not in my will, because I would have let people down many, many times. If things were done in my will, then even before I came to know God, if things were in my control, I would have been already gone. I made a lot of bad choices in my youth. I made a lot of mistakes. I said yes to a lot of things I shouldn't have, because we're human. And I understand that. And temptation is prevalent in every anybody's life. We are all succumb to temptation. Well, brother, I didn't have a drug problem. It don't have to be a drug problem. Somebody could come to tempt your anger. Come on now. Somebody could come by to see if they can rub you enough the wrong way to get you roused up so they can say, well, I thought you went to church. Uh-oh. The example that we show in our lives sometimes is not the spiritual one. It's that weak one. The one that fell asleep in the garden. The one that laid down on God. And guys, we are a direct reflection of God's will. And if nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting... Come on, stay with me. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting delivered. It makes me begin to question if we're asleep in the garden. It makes me begin to question, God, am I following after your will or choosing my will? You see, his will for me is to be thankful when I enter into his courts with praise. It's his will for me to be able to come in and to agree one with another where two or three agree that he would be in the midst and one would put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. You see, he already laid out a path for us to be able to come in, and we act like that we're walking around bumping into each other. Act like we don't know what we're supposed to do in the house of God when he's given you the right to get up and praise him, to get up and declare the victory. He did not give you a mouth to not use it, right? Did not give you feet to not stand. Well, I'm just a bench warmer. I just sit idly by. God did not call bench warmers. When he saved you, he called you out. You didn't get to sit back. He called you forth from what you were. Woo! When I call out on God, you know what has to change? My will. My will sometimes, we're going to get real now. My will sometimes is to sit at home and do, well, we can say nothing first. I've never seen America so lazy in all my entire life. Sometimes we'll just do nothing. Enemy's got us to where we do nothing. The sword's wielding now. Are you willing to let the limbs fall off? We're not in a place where we even crack open the Bible. We're not in a place where we're even in shape to come in and worship. And it doesn't even take much to worship. Just a willing heart. And when we lose a willing heart, that means that our mind is overtaken by too many things. And God does not want our minds corrupt with things that would stand in the way. That's why he said to cast off the things that would easily beset you. Or other words, the things that would stand in your way to achieve the will of God in your life. You cannot put on the mind of Christ without being willing to. The church ain't willing to get up and amen. The church is not willing to get up and praise. The church is not willing to back the preacher. I made a statement a little while back that I think the amens are going to fade out in 5 and 10 years unless we get our act together. I don't want it to fade out with a generation. I want the anointing to go on. I want the support of the ministers of God to be more than a presentation and a hand clap at the end. If you agree with something, you can say amen. If it stirs your heart, you have a right to shout. And if you don't have the right to shout and it's too bound up to be able to get up and praise God, well, church, you better get it in order to where God can be free, to where God can have his way. You better let the Spirit run your service. Woo! Where the Spirit's running, people can be set free. And you know where the Spirit's flowing, we're out of the way. I cross myself off and say, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm willing to do it, God, because it's not about me. I put an X on me, and I surrender to God. I don't want to ask this, but I have to. I feel the Holy Ghost. Have we been sleeping on God? We've been showing up, catnapping. Holy Ghost come by, and we just zip up our sleeping bag a little tighter. I'm comfortable with my life. I feel this. I'm comfortable where I am. Try to move me if you can, preacher. I'm comfortable with my life. I don't want to change. It's not my will to change. I'm not going anywhere. If that don't tell you that there is an issue, I don't know what will. When the word of God is being spoken, if it does anything to you but make you feel good, then we might need to address what it is that makes us come against it. I remember when I was first coming up in God's house and I would hear something that would, oh, Lord, that's all over me. Well, I'll work on that in the future. I learned something a long time ago. If God gives a right now word through the anointing and through the Spirit, He means for us to work on it right then. And I don't think that God would ever speak a word to a church that they could not conquer, that they could not come through, and that they could not understand. Well, preacher, I don't know. Don't tell me that. God can speak to anybody. Doesn't matter. He spoke to me. And I was one of the hardest ones to get through. He doesn't have any requirements other than we come willing and surrender. That we come willing and say, God, take my problems. Lord, I don't want it. God, take all that is on my mind today. I don't want it. God, I want to go this day in happiness. God, I'm tired of being unhappy. Lord, I want to smile at my loved ones that they see the light of God in me. Lord, I want them to see the joy that's in my life. I'm tired of looking like that life is over and I'm already dead walking. I want to show something to people that when they see me, they know that there's something living on the inside and not just a statement. I don't know if you're getting it or not. Oh, but I'm telling you, it's all in the will of us. And if you feel like I do, well, that's just not really enough to get me yet. Well, there's more. Mark chapter 3. Go ahead and get there. The first thing that we have to do, we have to begin to submit to God's will. If we can get ourselves persuaded to actually move and go, let's just consider a couple of things while you're getting there. Can you imagine what it would be like if nobody had to tell anybody to get up and praise God? Can you imagine what it would be like if people came in and just began to go after those they feel like needed prayer instead of just waiting for the Holy Ghost to absolutely yell at them, slap them in the back of the head, and kick them off the seat to move? Can you imagine if we didn't have to battle over who had it and somebody knew it was them?
Come on!
Uh-oh. I also thought, I asked this to our church a little while back. What if we came in and had a no music service? Do you think that we could handle it without the loud cymbals and the bass and the beat? There's so many churches out there that's on the beat and not the Spirit. Guys, they don't even know the difference. The beat ain't going to save them. They'll enjoy the beat for about 3 minutes and 30 seconds. That's about the time of an average song, and then it's over, and their life's still the same. But the Spirit of God will draw them and change them forevermore. That's what will keep people. And the only way that the Spirit flows from breast to breast is that we're willing to let it go. Praise God! I can't get off of that. Are you in Mark 3? Are you there? I'd never interpreted this way before. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If I'm divided in me about my will versus God's will, if I'm divided, torn between putting my hand in the flesh cookie jar, doing the things of the world because I like doing that cookie jar and trying to get in God's cookie jar at the same time. Guys, you can only serve one master. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And in other words, that if I have more than one will in my life, I'm eventually going to fall because it's not a solid structure that you can live your life on. It might last you a little while, because temptation does last for a season that you'll enjoy. Because the enemy will do just enough to get you completely drawn away. Whether it be 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, you'll finally be in a place where you're completely separated from God. You'll fall, and you'll begin to lose things one by one. I know I'm speaking to hearts in here tonight. We'll begin to lose things, and we'll begin to fall into that depression. Well, I've never been depressed before. I don't know what that's like. If anything that ever enters your mind, you already have a pessimistic look, a sad outlook on, and there's no uplifting, encouraging, positive outlooks in you, and all that you can do is throw down, kick down, beat upon, you're walking in depression. I don't know if you recognize that or not. God wants us to be a happy people. It says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In other words, if you go around somebody merry, it will help cure them of the things that they're bothered with. Right? I cannot expect to be a minister of God and go around acting like the world's over. We cannot, as leaders of God and pillars of the church that's been in this long enough, act like that we can come in and have the most look on our face and think that people are going to be drawn by that. It starts in a willing countenance to get up and do. It starts in a willing heart to say, God, I'm killing out my flesh. I'm killing out my unhappy face. I'm killing out all the things that would make me want to sit down and not do anything. God, I'm going to rise up and praise you in this song, even if it makes my back feel like that it's going to fall apart. Lord, I know that I'm weak in body, but I know that you'll strengthen me. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Starts with you, gets you torn away from God. Then you go home to your loved one, and what's the phrase? Take it out on them. I'm talking about everybody in this room, any age. Everybody throws angry fits, spells. I'm trying to think of other words that we call it. Tantrums. Or it can be that you come in and that you're just so upset with something. You're just so overwhelmed. We're redirecting that where it shouldn't be going. You might be doing that to somebody that's lost. And how could they ever see the light of God in you when you continually hide that? Continually put that out where there is no flicker or spark. You know how you spark your fire in God? You know how you do that? You dig in there and you find something that stirs you. Come home and have the worst day at work, and you come in. Find something different to talk about other than the worst day at work. Yes, I had a bad day at work, but I know that God is turning it around. Or I know the Lord's taking care of me. But more than just words, that you have to fall down and let God have that. Just as much as I'm holding this, and they were walking up through here with those things on their back that had the different representative words. You carry it with you. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we carry it with us. It's just like a chip on our shoulder. That really bothered me 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to be able to go in there and serve the Lord because my brother really upset me with what they did. Seriously, guys, are we not big enough to get past the small things? We have to will that God would help us to get over the small things, because there's bigger things that's going to be ahead of you that you're not going to be able to handle, and it'll just blow you over. You won't be deeply rooted enough in the Spirit to be able to handle anything. Somebody could come over and just look at your tree and... You might think that this is something that is humorous, but I'm telling you, more often than not, if we don't call out on God, we get in a place where we get in that angry state. Grog, be cold on God. That's where I feel like that some of the churches that were cold. Doesn't matter how you got there, but we're cold and indifferent. In other words, that's saying, I'm not going to work with anybody, Doris. I'm not going to praise you, Lord, while she sings. I'm not going to praise you, Lord, while the brother preaches. I'm just going to go through the motions and just chill out here. And if people think I came in here, then I'm all right. But you see, your salvation and your well-being is not based on all the eyes in this room. That's what I love about it. My walk with God is not based on those that look upon me. Because there are people that criticize me, judge me, put me down, throw me all over the place. But they are not the ones that is giving me the help to the hills which word comes from. I serve a God that's more than able to deliver for all my needs. He's able to reach out and to deliver. God sees my heart. And He sees your heart, and He knows if you're cold and indifferent. You don't have to justify to me, well, I come and I put tithes in the offering, and I participate in all the activities, and I read my Bible, and I come in and I listen to the songs. It's more than that. There is a spiritual transformation that begins to take place in you when you commit it to God. And if you've never felt that in your heart, there's something missing. It's more than just coming in the doors and hearing three songs, shaking hands, and listening to a guy yell and scream and read from a book. There's something that's in you that while those things happen, that should be getting your attention, should be whispering to you that when you hear a song that says, Jesus rescues me, that it should be able to lift you up and say, I know that you are the one that rescues me. But if I'm divided against my church because I'm cold, I'm hindering a service. You mean one person and 200 people can hinder a service? You have no idea. Just as much in the same token, you can be the one that opens it up. But you know what really signifies what a key looks like? We always say you could have the key. But you know what makes the key? Your willingness. Your willingness. Nobody else has said anything. If I testify, they're not going to support me. Is it about them? Is it about how much hand claps that you get? Don't clap for a second. I want you to hear this. Is it about the hand claps that you get, or the pats on your back, or how, oh brother, how much that you bless me? It's not about that. When people come in here and they're desperate for a change in their life, the only thing that will ever change them is the Spirit of God. It's the only thing that will ever keep them. And if we are not willing to move to the Spirit of God, they won't be changed. And the only thing that will give me more love and more compassion to go out and help them even when I don't feel like it is the Spirit of God. But I'll never be moved by the Spirit if my will is not God's will. If I'm not trying to tune in to what the Holy Ghost is trying to speak into me, I'll never get a hold of it. It'll pass me by and I'll be holding my ticket saying, where was it at? I know this is kind of a different message. Go to Philippians 2. It's our last one. I'm trying to do a lot better. The tail of the tape last time said it was about an hour, so I'm trying to be quicker. I don't want to wear out your attention span. I appreciate your support. I appreciate it. Philippians chapter 2. I want to ask you, so how do we know the will of God? Because I've heard more often than not, I don't know what God's will is for me. I'm still waiting on His plan. I don't really know where I fit in. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. If I just had something to do, Lord, I would give everything to you. And we'll ride that boat till we get out in the middle of nowhere, stranded and desperate for help. And God has to come out there and throw a life raft to pull us back in. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me, bringing me out of this. And then we're right back to square one. But I still don't know where I fit in. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. Read verse 12 and 13 with me in chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You might feel like that you have no purpose, or that you don't have something to do, or that you're just one that sits idly by and lets everybody else do it because they do it better. God has heard all the excuses ever wrote since the beginning of time. So if you think that yours is unique, different, or more popular and more justified than anybody else's, you're wrong. And the only thing that you're doing is putting off what God can increase in your life. Lord, bless me and my family. Bless me and my home. Bless me and my finances. Bless all those that are lost in my family. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Go on about our way. Come into church. Kind of just have a bland experience. Don't really do anything because we don't know what to do. You keep praying that prayer over and over and over. Eventually, it's going to get to the point where it's so dry. I know somebody's been here before. Where we start just calling out and it's like, Lord, it's me again. We're already frustrated before we start. I need you to bless everything. You already know the list. I'm not going to take the time to say it. God, you already know all the ones on my mind because I'm too lazy to actually speak them out to you. Lord, do it all in Jesus' name, or whatever his name is. Amen. It becomes that stale. Come on, church. I said we were getting real. I'm not somebody that puts the dust anywhere other than out in the open so we can clean it up. Do you want to walk around with a dry vessel? I want to draw from the living water. I want to draw from the Spirit of God. And the only way that I'm ever going to know and be led in direction for my life, direction in what to do for others, and direction for things to change, is getting in and praying, watching and praying. I believe that's why they go together. It's one thing to watch everything that you're dealing with, because if you just watch it long enough, it'll consume you. But if you pray, then you're aware. Then you're making God aware. Amen? You're making God aware of what you're dealing with. I've said this before too. The only way that I would know that you need this is if you ask me. The only way that I would know that you need this is if you verbally communicated to me that you needed this. God wants you to call out to Him. He wants to hear the cries of His people. He is glorified in the praises of His people. He is glorified when we back up whoever's standing and preaching the Word of God. He is glorified when we stand up and support the youth in whatever move that they're doing. He is glorified when you stand up and lift up your hand, even if nobody else does. It's not in the numbers. It's in your willingness to move. Well, we only have 10 here. I can't really obey the Lord unless I got a great big number. You know, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and delivered from drugs, I think there was about 4 or 5 people. It's not in the numbers or how loud you can shout it. It's what you have inside and what you commit to God. And I'm not here to say that what you have is lacking or without, but what I'm telling you is that if we're not willing to do what God wants us to, we're missing it. We're missing the boat. There, I could not tell you how many times that you could be in a service and God's Spirit comes by. And I know that everybody in this room is going to relate to this one. God's Spirit will come by and you'll feel that little bit of a tug in you to move, and we don't move because it wasn't a great big one. Well, it's not a great big move and not a great big testimony. And Lord, I didn't have anything prepared before I came. And God, I don't really have a song on my heart. Well, sometimes you might not have anything prepared. He just wants you to give up and give Him glory. He might sometimes just get you up and just let you wing it. All that I know, and this is what I'm closing with, all that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, is that I'm going to do whatsoever He wants me to do. because it's the only way that I'm going to be able to help you. It's the only way that I'm going to be able to help me. And guys, it's the only way that the church will be able to endure in the days to come. We're living in a day where everything around us is indicating that time is drawing nigh. And I don't know why we think that we can get by with sitting idly by and growing cold. The laborers are few, and God wants that to increase. Just because it stated the laborers are few does not mean that it was God's will for the laborers to be few. We're going to do a little bit of an exercise here in a second. Because I feel led to. I don't know. I just felt quickened to. I will do. Say this with me. I will do. Lord. What you will have me to do. It's one thing to say that to me in words. But I want to read this to you, that the thought that God gave me that kind of got all this going. Before any action, there is always a decision. Every decision has a driven will. A person's will is their own and is free for them to decide. You can either choose to stand up and praise the Lord or not, right? It's your in control to get up and support the service or not, right? If you know that your life is in need of change and you feel the conviction power of God, it is your will to get up and go after it, or your will to reject it. What I'm asking you today, go ahead and stand with me. This is part one. We're standing. What I would ask you today is to let your will be God's will. Let God take the driver's seat. Let Him move you out of the pew. Let Him bring you to the altar. Don't come up here because I ask you to. If the Spirit is convicting you, let that be what brings you. If you want change in your life, let God bring you. And when you come to pray to God, guys, I know this is going to sound horrible, but God sees when we only give Him 90% of it in prayer. I know that sounds sharp, but God sees what's in your heart. And when He sees that you finally let it go, I'll share my experience so you'll understand where I'm coming from. There was at least 6 times that they prayed for me to be delivered from drugs. And it was like I came right up to that point, and it was like there was something in me that just was not willing to let go of. I couldn't really pinpoint it at the time. But that move, it was there, but it just did not come to pass because there was something in me still holding back. And if you pray deep enough, God will even show you when you're standing there praying what it is that's got to change. Lord, I don't want to change that. I like that. I like those people. I like that place. I like these objects in my life. If we want to draw closer to God, we got to let some stuff go. Amen. Come on now. You can amen now. We got to let some stuff go. We're not willing to surrender, the change cannot be complete. He gave it so that whosoever will, let him come. But when, you know, when the thief was on the cross with Jesus, it was his will to speak up. Because I thought about that. What made the other one not speak? But one speak, but not the other. That spoke to me and made me realize that it's the choice of a man. And a woman to say that I want to be with you. Jesus, I want to accept you in my life. I want all that you have to offer for me. It can be one thing to be accepted and to be into paradise, but guys, if we don't, it's a much different story. The second thing that we're going to do, just give me one hand. You don't even have to go all the way up because I don't wear you out. Just give me a hand up. This is kind of similar to coming to God and saying, Lord, I need things from you, but I'm not willing to change anything because I still have some things I'm hanging on to. Shake your other hand down here. I still have things down here, God, I'm not willing to change. I'm still hanging on to things, God, I'm not willing to change. But when we come to God in the fullness and completely reach out to Him, hallelujah, when we reach out to Him in the fullness and completely surrender what He has in store, there is nothing that could be ever be held back from you. There is no stronghold that could be in front of you that could ever stand God's power. There is nobody that God could not reach. There is no sickness that God could not heal. You could feel like that you were dead inside, and God would move it. If you're willing to get up and let God change it, God's willing to meet you. If you're willing to accept Christ into your life, He's ready to save you. Amen. You feel the Spirit tugging at your heart. I'm talking about that part of you that's saying, I realize what you're saying now. There's something in me, I've not been doing what I should. And God, I want your will completely. All you got to do is just come and let Him complete that in you. You know how you complete something with God? Give Him all the parts that are hindering you. We all know what they are. We can pretend that we don't. And we can put on the mask, as they say. I'm great. I'm fine. Not a care in the world. And go back out and be in tears from what we're dealing with, Joe. Be frustrated so bad to the point of breaking down on the verge. Be willing to come. Don't make somebody make you feel like you have to. That won't change a thing. It's not of my will. I'm not up here to make you come and pray. I'm up here just to simply relay the message that God is still alive. He's still on the throne. And He's ready to help you if you are willing to come.